Well, welcome everybody to our service this Sunday morning. It's going to be led by Martin, so I'll hand straight over to Martin to lead us in our worship.
Thank you, Adrian. Just to focus our thoughts, let's just listen to this piece of scripture. Oh, how good and pleasant it is when brethren live together in unity. It's like fine oil upon the head that runs down upon the beard of Aaron, and runs down upon the collar of his robe. It's like the dew of Hermon that falls upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has ordained the blessing of life forevermore. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we come together to worship you, we ask that you would be with us, inspire us and challenge us. At this time, at the beginning of our service, we think of our royal family with the loss of Prince Philip. We pray that you would help them this day. And we think of Freddie and his family as they're dealing with the loss of Freddie's father. And we pray that you would bless him as he's with us this morning. We ask that you would go before us in all that we do in worship. In Jesus' name, amen. And we'll sing our first hymn together, which is How Lovely Is Your Dwelling Place. better is one day in the presence of Jesus than 1,000 days elsewhere. I wonder if that is actually our experience. We're going to have our first reading this morning. Freddie has kindly agreed, even under the circumstances, to continue to go ahead and read this for us. So I'll hand over to Freddie as he leads our first reading.
Chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. The group of believers was one in mind and heart. None of them said that any of their belongings were their own, but they all shared with one another everything they had. With great power, the apostle gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God poured rich blessing on them all. There was no one in the group who was in need. Those who own fields or houses would sell them, bring the money received from the sale, and turn it over to the apostles. And the money was distributed according to the needs of the people. That's the word of God.
Thank you very much, Freddie. Just a quick reflection, really, upon that. And it was the church was in its very early infancy, and within that congregation of people, there was no suggestion of superiority of person or class or wealth. The followers had an eye for one another. If there was a need in that church, in the church, they met it. No one said, "But that's mine. I've worked hard for that." According to this reading, they simply saw the need, sold their belongings, and met that need. The apostles gave themselves to the teaching about the resurrection of Jesus, and as a result, the church grew. I think in our modern society, we hear a lot about the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. I think our society has become very materialistic in the way we assess ourselves and one another. So we judge by home ownership and home size, car size. How many holidays do we have a year? How big is our salary or income or our position in society? And often we fail to see the needs of others. During this corona pandemic, this COVID pandemic, I think mankind, as it were, has been a lot more outward looking. And I think this has done some semblance of good. So I hope that we don't lose that as we go into our lockdowns. But please don't misunderstand what I'm getting at here. I'm not suggesting in any way, shape or form that we should all go and sell everything we have and have worked hard for. But what I am suggesting is that maybe we search our hearts to see if our wealth is hindering our growth. To see if our wealth is hindering the growth of our church and our relationships to one another. Are we prepared to come before God and offer up our possessions, our cars, our homes, and our bank balances to Him, for Him to use? And this morning, as I was just rereading what I'd written, my heart went to Psalm 139. I'm going to read the first couple of verses and then the very end of the psalm. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul, and you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me and put me to the test and sieve me through all my anxious cares. See if there is any path of pain I am walking, and lead me back to your glorious everlasting way, the path that brings me back to you. And I wonder how many of us would like to say to God this morning, examine me, see if everything I hold dear is hindering my relationship with you. So we'll join together and sing our second hymn. And I chose Take My Life and Let It Be. Sometimes very easy words to sing, but I think sometimes we need to look at them and see, do we really mean what we've just sung? There is a reading coming, and it's coming via YouTube, I think. So we'll just listen to our second reading.
It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came, stood among them.
Peace be with you.
After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again,
Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you.
Then he breathed on them.
Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord."
"Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands, and put my finger on those scars, and my hand in his side, I will not believe."
A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them.
"Peace be with you. Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe."
"My Lord and my God."
"Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me?
In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles which are not written down in this book. But these have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you may have life."
Father, as we come before your word, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to understand what you are saying to us today and the challenges that you are laying before us. Give us hearts to receive and ears that are open to hear. In your name, amen. Have I missed out? We're going to sing, aren't we? And I've just done a leading us into our word. We'll sing this song first and then we'll share God's word together.
Things for the way they really are. Open our eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see.
Lift it up. Let me hear you.
To see you high,
to see you high. lifted up.
Holy, holy.
Thanks, Adrian, for understanding my instructions that I requested. Thank you. We were just singing there. The last bit of that chorus is, I want to see you. The opening words of that chorus is, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And I want to open today's message with a question for each of you to consider. And this morning's message is going to be very different to just trying to understand a story, as opposed to a lot of things for us to think about as we go through it. So the first question is, having sung that song, listen to that reading. How desperately do you want to meet Jesus? Does your heart yearn for a face-to-face meeting with Christ? I don't mean, do you long to die? Do you long to go to heaven? I mean, if you had an opportunity to be locked away in a room like the disciples were, and Jesus were to appear, is that something that you really, really desire? I think before writing this and having to think about this message, I would have said it possibly wasn't very high on my priority list. But the more I think about it, the more I think I would like to see Jesus. And that's why I like that song so much. Open the eyes of my heart, because it's not always a physical seeing that we're after. It's actually just meeting with Jesus. And that happens on a regular basis. So we read in our reading that the disciples were in a room and the doors were locked. And as you can see from the picture behind me, Jesus appeared to the disciples. That's why I've chosen this background. Jesus appearing to the disciples. I wanted you to see something that could potentially happen even in our modern society. Jesus can appear and meet with us. I mean, to put yourself in the place of being one of those disciples, fearful after seeing that cruel crucifixion. We've witnessed the resurrection and Jesus has ascended to heaven. And now we're hiding away because we don't know what's happening next. Is that the end of Jesus's ministry as we can think about it? And we're worried about being caught by other Jews or the Romans because we were connected with Jesus. We've locked ourselves in a room, and are we encouraging one another, or are we talking about what we're going to do next? We know at one point the disciples talked about going back to their everyday jobs and things. So we're shut in a room, worrying, fearful for our safety. And then suddenly, Jesus has appeared. But the door was locked. What would your reaction be as this happened, as you are sitting in that room? How would you feel about what is happening? And what would you say? I wonder what the disciples said. I wonder if they cowered in a room, because Jesus's first words to them were, peace be with you. It is me. I wonder if Jesus appeared before us, whether we would be frightened, whether he would need to calm our hearts and our minds, whether he would need to reassure us that it is him. Peace be with you, he said. And he continues on to give them their mission. He says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. So he's saying, you must continue what I started. You are now my body upon the earth. He breathes on them, imparting the Holy Spirit, and he sets the parameters of their scope of practice. He says, if you forgive, then sins will be forgiven. I wonder how many times we find it easy to not forgive people, to hold on to what they've done against us. It's harder, I think, to forgive, to really, really forgive. And when I say that, I mean to forgive and never bring it back up again, to forgive and act as though whatever that sin was, that hurt, that wrong has never, ever happened, to act as if it has had no effect upon you. To really, really forgive. I know in the Lord's Prayer we pray, forgive my sins as I forgive others. And I often wonder when we pray that, do we understand it? Because if God forgives in the same way that I forgive, then I think when I get to heaven, I might have a few issues. Because I find it hard to forgive. I think there are people who have caused hurt in the past. And sometimes just in talking, I can feel the hurt and the pain. And I wonder, have I really forgiven them? And if I want to hold on to things, then I'm saying to God, in the same way, you're allowed to hold on to things. But God doesn't. God forgives and he treats us as if what we've done never happened. But in that group of people, Thomas is missing. We all like Thomas because Thomas, I think, represents us. I think the fact that Thomas is referred to as doubting Thomas. But Thomas is missing. So now I want you to change your shoes. You're not just one of the disciples. You're Thomas. So put yourself in Thomas's shoes. You come into a room and they're all excited. We've seen Jesus. He was here with us. He was wonderful. He's come and he's back. We've seen him. Would you feel that you were left out when the others told you what happened? I often felt when I was going to meetings and the Holy Spirit was moving upon people, and it was almost like there was a circle drawn around me and it was all going on around me, but never actually touching me. And I used to stand and say to God, you know, I'm here as well. And I wonder if Thomas felt like that. That's typical, isn't it? Comes when I'm not around. Now I've just got to take your word for it. Would you believe what they're telling you? Would you believe the things that they're saying he did? Or would you, like Thomas, want proof of this amazing news? I think to feel that you've missed out on something major is can be really hurtful. And I wonder if Thomas felt he was perhaps maybe a second-rate disciple. So how would you have responded to Jesus when he then appears to you? So the next time they're together and Thomas is with them and Jesus comes in and he says, believe, it is me. Touch my wounds. Put your hand in my side. It's like Thomas wasn't even there the first time and Jesus wasn't there when Thomas said his words, and yet Jesus responded to those exact words. I think Thomas is like a lot of us. We weren't there when Jesus reappeared. I don't know if anybody within this meeting here or within our churches or anybody that I know that has physically seen Jesus. We take it upon faith that he is there. He's a spirit. He's not in human form at the moment. So how strong is your faith, having never seen Jesus? What do you say to people who say that Jesus isn't real? When they say to you, prove it, how can you believe in somebody you've never seen? How can you have faith in a God that doesn't show himself? And I understand those questions, and they cause us doubts. They cause us sometimes big problems. But it is the truth, isn't it? We believe in a God we've never seen. We reach out to a God that we can't physically touch. We speak to a God that doesn't show any essence of being within earshot. The number of times that we pray and we think we're just shouting words up at the ceiling. So what do we say to people when they say, I don't believe it, until I see him, until I can touch him, until I can put my hand upon those scars, I won't believe. How do we convince them that we know that he is real? I wonder if, like Thomas, we would fall on our knees. I mean, in that little film clip, we saw Thomas didn't need to touch the wounds as he said he needed to in the beginning. He saw Jesus, and that was enough. And Jesus said, blessed are you because you have seen. But then blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I'm going to close with one more question, which is not for you to answer today, but I want you to consider it over this next week or so. And the hymn that we're going to sing afterwards is a statement to the effect of, in a sense, of the answer that we should be giving. And the question is, what do you believe? What do you believe? So we are going to sing, I say it's a hymn, it's not really a hymn, it's a song. I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. And it's a restatement of what we as Christians believe. So let's sing together. Thanks again for that, Adrian. Adrian is going to lead us in our, Adrian and Stephanie, sorry, are going to lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Thank you, Martin. Just before we have our prayers, I have a very short video which has been produced by the BMS, and it's part of their campaign for a COVID-secure world. We've probably all seen the league tables in the papers about where various countries are in various statistics about COVID. And sometimes when we see we're at the top of the list in vaccinations, we may feel a bit of pride in ourselves. But actually, we need to think about those who are at the bottom of the list as well. And this little video just reminds us that we need to think about all parts of the world and not just ourselves.
As a global network of Christians, we are determined. Determined to shrink the spread and protect our world from COVID-19 simultaneously. No one should be disqualified from a place in a COVID-free world due to where they live or how much they earn. To get through this pandemic together, we must defeat COVID everywhere and quickly. Collectively, we stand both in prayer for those who have suffered and in hope that our world will choose equity, including for the most vulnerable. You've been here from the start. Let's stay until the end. Is this the future you long to see?
Let us now come to prayer. Spirit of life
and love,
known by many names and worshipped in a rainbow of ways. Infinite mystery, be with us now.
Surround us.
Push us forward.
Pull us together.
We give thanks this day
for the opportunity
to be together, to laugh, to learn,
to play, and to build a vision.
May this time bind us
and set us free.
May we know deep in our hearts we are not alone. May we love you enough.
Love us enough.
Love those yet to come enough.
To keep raising the bar of expectations,
dreams,
and possibilities.
Give us the courage
and conviction.
Put aside
our egos,
attachments, so universal grace streams in. Spirit of life
and love,
be with us today. Give us the vision
to dream beyond ourselves.
Give us the humility to see our shortcomings
as a place to begin and to grow.
Send us the compassion
to create a safe place for us
to explore possibilities. Give us the confidence
to ask
for what we need
and want.
Give us the courage to take risks
beyond here
and now
and us.
We lift up to you now those who need our prayers. We remember those who grieve for loved ones departed,
especially our Queen and the royal family.
We join with them, remembering the life of Prince Philip. Also, we remember Freddie, his father, his family in Nigeria at this time. We remember also
those battling with COVID,
those who have lost jobs,
those seeking meaning in their lives,
those who are in and on our hearts and minds. We lift them to you in a moment of silence. O Lord, who hears our prayers,
we thank you for answering them.
As we pray together the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Adrian and Stephanie, for leading us through that. I realise I messed up and did the hymn before I should have done. But I think to close, before we do the grace, it would be good if we could just play that hymn through again, that last one, I Believe in Jesus, just to give us a focus for the week, and then we'll say the grace together. Say the grace together. May the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.
Thanks, everyone. Just before we go, just how many of you have seen the film, the Richard Attenborough film, Miracle on 34th Street?
Yeah.
The Christmas film?
Yeah.
No? Oh, I thought it was one of those. Yes. There's a, there's a
about 15 times, probably, yeah. Martin.
It's really good, isn't it? There's a wonderful bit in there that I always find quite emotional, actually, is when he's on trial and it's like all the public declare, like you get come up on a sign, I believe. And there's those two people that work for his opponent. And they sit in a room and they're looking at one another. And he goes, he just opens his jacket and he's got a badge that says, I believe. And she does the same. And I just, when I was preparing this, that scene came to mind. And I wonder how many of us need to be in that position where we discreetly, we're opening our jacket and saying, I believe. Or whether we are like the workers of New York who put it up on a big gantry sign over the highway as the people are going in that says, the New York road workers believe. And I think maybe we need to take a lesson that we shouldn't be hiding it under our jackets with a little badge saying, I believe. We should be declaring openly that we believe. Anyway, food for thought for you. Thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you, Martin.
Notices for the week. Prayer meetings on Monday, Wednesday and Friday at 11 as usual. Next Sunday morning, meeting here for 11 at the usual Zoom service, which will be led by the Reverend Francis. And we'll also be celebrating communion at the end of the meeting. Also an advance notice. I know everybody is looking towards the end of lockdown and when we'll be meeting together again fully as a church. Well, that still looks to be somewhere in the little distant future, sometime after the end of June, it's still looking like. But we can gather together again for a hybrid service where we will have some meeting in the church, some meeting online. And the next time we'll be doing that will be May the 10th. Just to remind, say that to people, that we'll be meeting together on May the 10th. There will be limited places in church because there will still be lockdown rules in place. So if you want to meet in church with us on the 10th of May...
It's the 9th, Adrian.
No, it's the 9th.
It's your eyes.
It's my eyes. Yeah, it's the 9th of May. On the 9th of May, then please let Janet know so that she can book your place in church. We still won't be allowed to sing in church. Let me just say that under the rules that they appear to be still will be in place on that date. We won't be able to sing together in church, but we will be able to meet. But as I say, that will be a hybrid service. We did a couple of those at the end of last year, and we will do one on the 9th of May as we move towards the end of lockdown. Now, has anybody else got any other notices? Trevor, you're meeting at the pastures at the beginning of May, I think.
Well, we're still planning on meeting on the first Sunday in May at the pastures, yes. I probably need to just check during this coming week that with the management of the pastures, but by next weekend, I think we can confirm that, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And just to mention that the service on the 9th of May will be led by Reverend Romeo Pedro.
Okay. Has that changed then?
Sorry.
I'm getting confused. Sorry. Ignore that comment.
No, 9th of May, Romeo Pedro.
That's fine. Is it all right, Catherine?
Anybody else got anything else they want to say this morning? Please wave at me or start speaking.
Sorry, it is Kenya, not Nigeria. So.
Kenya.
Okay. Okay then. Well, thank you everybody for joining with us.
Thank you,
have a great week, and look forward to seeing. Those who join with us in the week on the prayer meeting. Otherwise, hopefully see you all again next Sunday morning as Zoom service led by the Reverend Father. So good morning, everybody. Good to see you,
everybody. Have a good week.
Bye. Thank you.
I believe.
Bye.
So do I.
I believe.
Right, bye, thank you, Freddie. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank
bye.
You.
Bye-bye, Daniel.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Daniel, love you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye-bye, Fred and Helen.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.